Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Georgie Jameson, and this week we have a special edition of the podcast recorded in front of a live audience at our summer social at the Daffodil in Cardiff. Here's Molly Palmer from BBC Radio Wales to tell you all about it.
I'm Molly Palmer from BBC Radio Wales, and our guest this evening is a presenter who joined Radio 1 in 1999 when he was just 17 years old. Currently here on BBC Radio Wales on a Monday night, BBC Radio Cymru on a Thursday night, and on BBC Radio 6 Music between 4 and 7, Tuesdays to Fridays. It's the very own Hugh Stevens. Shamai Hugh, how are you?
Thanks, Molly. Thanks. I'm so old.
You're not old.
I started radio in the previous millennia.
You know that, but the previous century as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, 17 years old, joining Radio 1, that is a very, very young age. How did that come about?
So, I'll keep it short, okay, because I bore myself. But hospital radio. Well, so, first of all, falling in love with radio, right? So, Virgin Radio, Virgin 12:15 a.m. I took a petition into school. The petition was, you'd write a letter, they'd post you a petition, you'd take the petition in, and the petition was, get Virgin onto FM.
And then petition.
Yeah, that's when you know you're a radio geek, isn't it? Where you take a petition into school, junior school, or maybe just about 11 or 12, to get your friends to sign it. So falling in love with radio, finding Radio 1, evening session, Steve Lamacq and Joe Wiley, doing the Duke of Edinburgh Award. Them asking, where do you want to do a year's worth of your Duke of Edinburgh? And I go, well, I'd love to be on the radio. That's my dream job. And they went, we've got you a work placement in Rookwood Sound Hospital Radio, 9:45 a.m, broadcasting to Rookwood Hospital and Llandoch Hospital. And it's still going strong, Hospital Radio in Llandoch, if you're ever unfortunate enough to be there. So did hospital radio, and then I met Bethan Elvin. I won't plug the book too much, but this is a book of, it's called Wales 100 Records. I know we'll get to it, but one of the records in it is by a rap group called Tustion, Welsh language rap group, which came out in 1997. And I met Bethan Elvin, who was at the time a BBC radio producer in Bangor, by rapping the words of Tustion at her on the streets of Aberystwyth when I was drunk. When I was 16.
When you were 16?
Yeah. I hadn't been in it. It was all consumed at home, so it's fine. It's nobody's fault but my own. And then I went up to her and said, I want your job one day. And then, yeah, Beth and Elvin knew that Radio 1 were looking for a new show in Wales. I'd been reviewing singles on Radio Cymru at night. I'd been doing jingles for Virgin Radio, reviewing albums for Collins and McConey's album thing. So I did loads of bits and bobs. So she knew I loved radio, and I'd been doing hospital radio for about 2 years by then. And yeah, she got us into two pilots, and then 10 of us, I think, and then it got whittled down to me and Beth. And then so I was about to go to uni to do media studies with the dream job of being a radio producer, who, as we all know, are the most important people in the studio. And then I got this job on Radio 1 instead. And yeah, and then I just kept my head down ever since, really. And I thought I'd do it for a year and then go to uni to do media studies. And then I just carried on. And I've count myself very lucky. And every time I say the story, I feel very lucky, because when people ask me how to get into radio, see, my story's a complete one-off, really. But it was through a lot of things that people get into radio have in common, which is a love of radio and I don't want to say hard work, because it doesn't feel like hard work, does it? If you love it.
When you love it, yeah.
And, you know, if you love radio, you just do it, don't you? And so doing a Tuesday night and a Saturday morning show on hospital radio for 2 years was like my dream gig, you know, I loved it.
Yeah. And it's interesting what you say about, you know, people asking you questions about how you got into radio, because I think everyone's path is very different. I've never heard the same story, really, about how people got into radio.
Yeah.
But it's clear that your love of radio started when you were very, very young. Yeah. Where did this love of radio originate, if you can even pin a point?
It's the old cliche of somebody listening, talking to you in your bedroom and you being on your own, thinking, oh, this person sounds like they know what they're on about. And the music this person is playing is brilliant. And falling in love with it like that then. So yeah, that would have been, you know, the mad DJs at the time who were on Virgin Radio, like Tommy Rambo, What a Guy Rivers, who did The Rock Show, and Russ and Jono, and Mitch Johnson and Nick Abbott, who I think's on LBC now. So, yeah, that was the first one. And becoming obsessed and then sending you postcards through the post. And it was pre-internet, right? This is 96, 97, so I couldn't Google them to see what they looked like. It was literally a voice. And so, yeah, that was I guess, the thing that drew me into radio. And then as I got into music and late-night radio, like Evening Sessions, Steve Lamacq and Joe Wiley in particular, and late-night Radio Cymru, because I'm a Welsh speaker, so I listened to a lot of late-night Radio Cymru, and you'd phone in and you'd get shout-outs, and they'd get you on to review records and things like that. So, yeah, that was, you know, it all kind of made me obsessed with it, really, yeah. And yeah. Love it, you know.
Yeah, like many of us exactly. do in this room. And who, you've been a figurehead in the industry for a very, very long, long time. I remember going to Focus Wales Festival. Is anybody in the room familiar? Focus Wales, woo! Yeah, Wrexham. Great festival in Wrexham. And yeah. I actually went to see you and Beth and Alvin do a session on 20 years in the industry. And I was so anxiety ridden, but I was like, I need to speak to who? I need to speak to Beth. I need to get an interview with them. And at the time, it was like the achievement of all achievements. And what you shared with me when I interviewed you was incredible as well. But as well as radio, you're a figurehead in the music industry. You've shared a lot of music with people.
I really strongly believe that the world is full of so much amusing music and everyone's got a completely unique taste. And so I've never been a massive music snob, really. If you want to like that, you crack on and play that. If you want to listen to that station and that show, you do that. You don't have to, you know, the world's big enough for everyone to like different things. And so, that's why I enjoyed doing the daytime show on Radio 1. I did Saturday and Sundays, 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a long time, and standing in on the breakfast show and standing in for Greg and Scott and, you know, all those programmes. Because it was like going on holiday where... I was brought up listening to a bit of commercial, but I was my passion was new bands, and growing up here in Cardiff, was going to see bands in late 90s. It was perfect timing. So to having to play Little Mix and One Direction on Radio 1, I absolutely loved it because the songs were brilliant. You knew that there were millions of people listening, and then I would sneak in a Pulled Apart by Horses song. only because you might like this. And there were some crossovers every now and again, and so on. So, yeah, I obviously work for the BBC, but BBC is a place where you can bring things to the table and say, this is good, you should play this. And if you're employed, then you're by them as a DJ or whatever. You're trusted most of the time, not on every record. And, it's a privilege, isn't it? And it's a responsibility. So that side of things is really exciting, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously very recently this year, you released your book, Wales 100 Records.
Thank you. There it is, yeah. Yeah.
And when I saw that you were going to be releasing a book about the music in Wales, I was like, this is going to be fantastic for the research for my show, which I have referenced it quite a lot for information for my show. But
oh, that's good.
I remember bumping into you in Central Square in Cardiff before the book had come out, and you were like, here's the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And you said, turn to the first page. So I turned to the first page, not knowing what to expect, really.
Not the
picture. But it was this wonderful portrait of who in black and white. And then you said, no, the next first page.
All right.
Which was this wonderful record from the Stereophonics. It's their first album, Word Get Around. They are my homeboys. We're from the same village. But I want to ask you, how does one decide to write a book? Because that's a big thing.
What you do is you go into a bookshop and you go, there's a book about literally everything in the world. I went into Waterstones in Cardiff and there was a book about clothes that you could put on your cat. I was like, why is it not a book about Welsh album covers? So I did it. So I emailed the publishers 8 years ago. It took me about 6 years to start writing it. And then I just started listening to the records, really, and writing. And, the book goes... it's not in chronological order. It goes Goldie Looking Chains, Greatest Hits, to Pedair, folk, traditional, beautiful voices... four-piece, to Don Leisure's Shaboo Strikes Back, to Shakin' Stevens. I hadn't listened to this record until I wrote about it for the book. To Datblygu, seminal Welsh language band, beloved of John Peel. To Badfinger, who wrote, you know, Without You, that Mariah Carey turned into a smash hit. So it was basically a book. I didn't think too much about the records in a way. It sounds mad to say that. It's 100 records, but it could have been 1,000.
Yeah.
There's a list in the intro of artists that aren't in the book, and they include Steps and World Party and the Bug Club and the Automatic and Charlotte Church and Panic Shack, and the list goes on. But yeah, so it's a book that I just think if everyone has a book in them, which is probably true, everyone's got, you could write about something.
I don't know if he'd be interested if I wrote a book about just anything that came
Well, but, you know, if you narrow it down and figure out what that book was about, and for me, it was a no-brainer to do this because I love a lot of these records and I love the stories behind the records as well, you know, the way Underworld, featuring Rick Smith from Ammanford, came together here in Cardiff in the Art College as an experimental band before becoming Underworld, how Tom Jones arrived at Surrounded by Time and covered a Cattell Caneg song, who's a Cardiff artist, and she's in the book as well. And the list goes on of stories and of what these records say about Wales and what they, you know, I was aware that if you're a Welsh speaker in Wales, you'd have grown up going to see Sobyn a Smeiliaid, Bryn Vaughan. But if you're not a Welsh speaker, you might have never have heard of Bryn Vaughan. But he's like the Welsh singer Robbie Williams. in a way. So I wanted to write about him next to Mace the Great, next to Max Boyce. We all had doctor's papers. So, yeah, so it's a coffee table, but it's a picture book, basically. It's a picture book that I wanted to write. It's not a work of great intellectual merit, but when I do write that, I will call it Ulysses. That's one for the readers there. So there you go. So that's what the book's about. So I just cracked on and just... I wrote a lot of it on the train as well, Molly.
Oh, well, you're a busy guy who you've got to work on the go.
Yeah, I had 2 months of going back and forth to London practically every day. So I put my headphones on. And the good thing about writing on a train is there's no distractions. You can't put a wash on. You can't put the telly on. You know, you've just got to kind of sit there and sweat and write or do whatever you want to do. Listen to a podcast.
Procrastinators will find a way. If I'm on a train and I got to do work, I'm like, wow, this tunnel looks so lovely out the window. But like you say, 100 records is very small in the grand scheme of the music that exists here in Wales. And that's been released since the, you know, beginning of when people started releasing music. So how did you begin the process of whittling down the records that you wanted to include in this book?
Well, I started with this record called Welsh Folk Songs by Meredith Evans, which he wrote, sung in New York in 1954, and he made the New York Times Albums of the Year. And I worked my way from there then, and I kind of just compiled a list, and there was some, you know, there's a lot of obvious artists. I had to write about the Manic Street Preachers and Gwenor and 60 Foot Dolls and Super Furries, Stereophonics, like you mentioned, and just kind of filled in the dots. And as I was writing the book, the Wren album went to number one in the UK album charts.
Beating
Rick Astley.
Of course.
Yeah, there you go. So that, you know, I thought, well, that's an interesting record. He's a rapper from Anglesey. He's number one in the UK album charts. But how many people know that he's Welsh or have heard him? So, you know, that was a no-brainer. And then lots of records that... I grew up with at home, and records I hadn't heard before, like Man and their album, which on the cover is actually quite boring, from 1972. They're from Merthyr, but then inside the album cover, there's this amazing map of Wales. So that's the last picture in the book. So yeah, so I'm aware there's not a lot of there's a lot of records not in the book, but I'm very happy with the response, and it's the kind of book I'd have bought. So I wrote the book that I would have wanted to buy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a good way to whittle down if it's going to be a hit or not. Would I buy it?
Yes, I would. Yeah.
I'm gonna bring it back to radio now, Hugh.
Okay.
You started your own show on Six Music last year. How did you feel when, I mean, maybe you got a phone call, maybe it was a very formal email to let you know that you got the show. What was that like?
It was the Monday after Glastonbury, and I just interviewed Nicky Wire from The Manics, pre-record. And he asked me off air, when are you going to get your own show on Six? I was like, oh, you know, I like depping and standing in, it's fine. I don't know, see what happens. And then he left and I ushered him out of the building. And then I got the phone call. And I literally sat in the corner of the studio and cried and blubbed because I was so happy, you know. And I was very tired after Glastonbury. I was thrilled because I'd been depping and standing in for about 5 years. So as I was leaving Radio 1, I started to stand in. And I loved it. And I love the station, you know. Even when I was at Radio 1, I still said Six Music is the best radio station in the world because I think it is. So to be on it is brilliant. And Steve Lamacq decided to take a step back from 5 days. He does Monday still, and I do Tuesday onwards. So, and to do it from Cardiff, you know, was huge for me because I live here and I'm from here. So it was, you know, I was really happy. It was chuffed to bits.
Yeah. What is the best thing about that platform on Six for you?
Well, just that people love the station and trust it. And listen to it for the same reasons I do, to hear new and old things that we love, you know, interesting music and songs that you might have forgotten about. It's a platform for new artists and DJs. So, you know, Giles, I won't go through the entire roster now because time is short, but, you know, the roster's amazing. So to be able to say, you know, and they're in the mix for Giles Peterson on Saturday, or they did a session for Marianne Hobbs yesterday or so on, is fantastic. And playing new records that I like as well to a big audience is great.
Yeah. Well, it's always such a pleasure to chat to you. You're such a radio icon.
Thanks for the chat, Molly.
And, well,
thanks for your patience. And thank you, Molly Palmer, for the questions.
And yeah, that's it for this special edition of the Radio Academy podcast, recorded here in Cardiff. I'm Molly Palmer, and let's have a huge round of applause for our very special guest, Hugh Stevens.
Thanks, guys.
And nos vaith da. Good night.
A big thank you to Hugh Stevens and Molly Palmer and to Katie Hill for guest producing the podcast. There's just a week to go until the Radio Academy Festival. And if you haven't done already, there's still time to get your tickets. Find out all about the amazing speakers, sessions and guests we've got on the 18th of September by going to radioacademy.org/festival. Next week, we'll be revisiting May and taking you backstage at the Arias with some of the red carpet interviews with the winners. I'll see you next week. Week.